For being able to be here. We thought we'd be on our way home by now, but we're not. We're still here. Been looking into the book of Colossians, and I want to find our text there this morning. Colossians, the second chapter. I'm going to read several verses. These are very rich and good. I'd like to start in the first verse of Colossians 2. He said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power." I wanted to share this last part of this verse. It says, verse 10, "Ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power." And that's my message this morning, is that you and I are complete in Christ. He mentions here, he talks about, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We read in chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Christ, we know, was placed, He was the God in the flesh. He's above all things. He's above principalities and powers. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then He says, "You are complete in Him." I want us to recognize this morning the value that we have in Christ, the completeness that we have in a relationship with Him. The word complete means having all needed or normal parts, lacking nothing, entire and full. And the Diaglock says, "You are replenished by Him. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him." You and I, we don't. It's very important for us to look to Christ for our needs and for the things that we have in life. He is able to fulfill that. He's able to fulfill us. He says, "You are complete in Him." Something that's complete means that All the necessary parts there are there for it to function to work. And that's good news to me this morning. That means that by the grace of God, I can be the dad that God wants me to be. And I can be, by God's grace, the example that He wants me to be on the job. I can fulfill, I can be complete, I can have the complete workings of Him in my heart, in my life, giving me victory and helping me, enabling me to overcome and be what He wants us to be. That's not with ourselves. He said, you're complete, but it says in Him. In Him you're complete. In Him all the fullness dwells. All we need to do is be connected and be walking in Him and living in Him and having Him live in us. And we're able to. I thought about the disciples when Jesus sent them out. He sent them out two by two. He told them, go preach in every city where I'm going to come. But He told them, He said, don't take any scrip with you. And don't take your purse or shoes. Just go out. And then later on they came back. And how'd they come back? Rejoicing. Because they found that the Lord was sufficient. And later on in the book of Luke, He asked them, He said, did you lack anything when I sent you out? I sent you out. You didn't take your scrip. You didn't take your purse with you, your shoes. Did you lack anything? And they just said, nothing. The Lord provided it all. They had everything sufficient that they had. They were able to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. He was sufficient. There was no lack and no need. I thought about the children of Israel too when they came out of the land of Egypt into the Canaan land. They were in bondage 400 years. They didn't have what it took to go into this nation within themselves. But He told them, there's a good land there. And I want you to go into the land to possess it. And they met difficult things. They met some hard places. Jericho, you remembered, it was a walled city and heavily fortified. And just by looking at it, they thought, how are we able to do this? Well, you remember the first generation that He called out, they saw the giants and they said, we're not able to go in. And they drew back in unbelief. We're not able to conquer. We're not able to overcome. And they were looking at it through their own eyes. They were seeing their own abilities. And they left God out of the equation. And that's a temptation for you and I. It's so easy for us sometimes to look at our own abilities, our own strengths, our own limitations. And we can leave God out of the equation so easy. And we go into unbelief and our heart is darkened and our hope is dimmed. We don't have the hope because of unbelief. Feeling like I can't do it. Have you ever felt that way? You ever gotten to a place where you felt like I can't make it? I'm not going to be able to do it. Folks, you're complete in Him this morning. The Lord has what you need to go through. He has everything available for you this morning. And they went in to the land of Canaan, that next generation, through faith, confidence in God. And they went to Jericho. And they listened to the instructions of God. And I want to tell us something that's very vital for us this morning in our Christian life. Be willing to listen to instruction. Be willing to take advice. Be humble in your heart and your spirit to take whatever the Lord gives, because that's instruction, that's guidance from the Holy Spirit. And the Lord told him what to do. You go in the city, you march around there seven times and quietly and go back to the camp. And on the last day, you march around seven times and then you shout. That was not according to human reason, was it? But the Lord knew what it would take to bring those walls down. And folks, they obeyed. They submitted. Those walls of Jericho that looked so big. That looked so mighty. Things can look big to us sometimes. Straits, difficult places that we get in can look very big. But I want to say this morning, that you're complete in Him. And if you'll listen to the words of Christ and seek out His counsel and His guidance, those walls that look so big and mighty can come down and fall before us. And battle after battle, when they listened to the Lord, when they were taking His counsel and His advice, they were able to overcome. And the enemies were not able to stand before them. They were complete. God had everything that they needed. When they got thirsty, they were in that desert-looking place and thought, how are we going to drink? And they began to murmur and complain. He smote the rock, brought water out. I don't remember how many people. It was close to a million people or over a million people that came out of bondage into that land of Canaan. God was able, and we question Him sometimes in providing for us, don't we? Do we not? Sometimes we struggle with, Lord, you're going to be able to meet my needs? Folks, this was a million people that God was going to lead. That's a lot of food. You cooks that know what a camp meeting's like, put a million on there. God could do it. He wasn't shortened. He was leading them. He had no trouble in providing. He knew exactly what He was doing. The place that where He was leading us, sometimes we question, Lord, what are You doing here? The Lord leads us into those places that we can see His salvation. There's a scripture. We get uncomfortable sometimes. There's a scripture, though, that says we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in the living God. You know, the Lord allows you and I to come into those places of difficulty, of straits. You know what happens? It gets to the point and place where it strips us of all of our dependencies. I remember Brother Bob Salee. He said when he first came to work at the print shop, I believe they moved from Louisiana. He came to work at the print shop and he said he had a little nest egg of savings provided. He had this little savings and the savings provided, and he just felt, you know, that they could make out. Well, pretty soon that nest egg was gone. And he learned how to trust. The Lord brings us into those places that you and I will get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our abilities, of what we're able to manipulate or contrive. And we come to that place where, Lord, it is going to be You, or that's it. We had the sentence of death within ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the living God. And that's a place. We had Sister Rosie's testimony we had. That was the Lord that did that. The Lord brings you and I into those places that our faith grows stronger. That we know on whom we serve. We know on whom we have believed. That He is able to make a way. He said with a temptation, He's able to make a way that you can bear it. That you're able to go through. He did that at the Red Sea when it looked like there was no possible way. Looked like the end was coming. Why do you suppose He led him there? Was it just by mistake? Was it just on second thought? God doesn't work that way. From the beginning of creation, the order that we see in the universe, it just doesn't happen by accident. He orders. He ordains. They were hemmed in by the wilderness on the sides. And the Red Sea was before them and Pharaoh's army was coming behind them. They were exactly where God wanted them to be. But they began to cry out, didn't they? But the Lord had a way of deliverance beyond their expectation. Just open the sea up and go over on dry ground. And I don't believe it was ankle deep water either. I believe He opened the sea up and they crossed on dry ground. And when they were on the other side, and they were all safe, and they were in that place of safety and protection, He closed the sea back up on the Egyptian army. Folks, I want to say God has a purpose. Many times it goes beyond what you and I are able to comprehend and understand and know. We've got to learn to trust Him. We've got to learn to put our hand in His. And not to draw back, but allow Him to lead us through those places. And look up to Him with a faith and a confidence that, Lord, You are able to make a way. When it seems like there is no way, when it seems like the end is right there, God is able to make a way for us. I think about another verse Paul talked about. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then he said, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." That goes along with that sentence of death that we have in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Yes, we are weak, but He is strong. We are complete in Him. And I want us to get a hold of that this morning, that the Lord, there is a completeness in Him, being connected with Him. I'm His child. Having the Holy Spirit in our lives that's able to guide us and direct us. Having the Word of knowledge, the Word of truth, the Scriptures that He's given us. Another Scripture, He talked about all Scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. Then it said that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You know, the Lord, as we imbibe the Word, as we open up our heart to the Word, and we receive it, and we begin to dig, and we begin to understand, it brings a completeness into our hearts and our lives, that the man of God may be perfect. It means mature, truly furnished unto all good works. It means that God, working in through him, that he is able to overcome. And he's able to be victorious. And I think about the Holy Spirit that God is providing. Didn't he say that he would guide and direct us into all truth? If we are keen, if we are honest, and if we are desiring his headship and his authority in our hearts and our lives, the Lord will teach us. The Lord will begin to reveal things to your heart. If you are intent on going your own way, and you want to work it out and do it your way, the Lord will let you do that. But I want to say, until we come to that place of a resignation before God, it starts that way, and it starts that way when we first get started. In verse 6 of this chapter, chapter 2 of Colossians, it says, "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How did we receive the Lord? Faith? What else? Contrition? Didn't you have to come to the place where you recognize that my way was getting me nowhere with God? My sins, my own agendas, following my own path was just entangling my life and make it worse. And we repented. That's what repentance is. We come to that place, acknowledge I was wrong. That same spirit that we got a hold of the Lord and we felt the peace of God, we've got to maintain that. That humility, that willingness. When you and I begin to harden our hearts, we begin to become stubborn, self-willed. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going that way. Jonah did that, didn't he? Jonah said, "Go to preach to Nineveh." The Lord told him, "Go preach to Nineveh." He said, "I'm not going to." I don't know if he verbally said that, but that's what he said. That's what he did. He went the opposite direction. When we do that in our lives, our spiritual lives, we fail to grow in Him. We fail to be complete in Him. The spiritual understanding that the Lord has for us, we fail to get a hold of it until we humble our hearts and we submit ourselves. I remember, I've told you before probably, but I remember a place in my experience where I was arguing with the Lord. You ever do that? You argue with the Holy Spirit? You feel inside that the Lord is leading you a certain direction, a certain way. You just feel down in your heart that's the Lord's leading you. Well, I began to pull back, began to draw back in my flesh. Didn't want to go that direction. And I want to tell you, you get into all kinds of spiritual trouble when you do that. That's where confusion comes in. That's the place where you get confused and you don't really understand what the Lord has. And I remember opening my Bible and it was like reading a newspaper. All it was knowledge. It was not feeding my soul. Until I came to that place of submission. And it was quite a process for me. I hope it's not that long for you. But I want to say sometimes we get stubborn. We can get self-willed. And the Lord can't work with that. He cannot work with that. And He wants you and I to come to that place. If you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, walk in Him. That place where you is willing to do whatever the Lord wanted you to do. Wasn't that how you felt when you got up from your place of prayer and meeting the Lord and you felt the peace of God come in the heart? Just like, Lord, whatever you want me to do. But if you and I begin to argue with the Holy Spirit leading us in our hearts and our lives what He's wanting to do, we'll never understand the lessons. We'll never understand what God has in store until we come to that place. And I found that when I knelt and I was in tears, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to follow You. That's what I'm going to be willing to do. And when I did that, when I made that consecration, that commitment in prayer, I want to tell you what, the peace of God came in. And I felt the Spirit of God again giving me victory and beginning to lead me. But when you and I draw back, it hinders that relationship. He mentions also in this scripture, in verse 18, he says, verse 17, it says, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body. Now, what does that mean to us today? What is our head to our body? It's the governing power. My hand is a hand. It does what the brain tells it. What the brain signals tell it to do, it does what the head tells it to do. It's a hand. It's not the head. That is the relationship that you and I should have with Christ. You and I are not the head. Although we have a head on our shoulders, we are not the head. We're just the hand. We're just the foot. But as people, we forget that sometimes because of our head that's on our shoulders. We are not the head. Christ is the head. All we do is follow what the Lord gives. The instructions that come from the head. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. When the body part doesn't do what the mind signals for it to do, it's not going to be much of use to the body. I got this thought recently, just strongly impressed in our ordinance service there in Oregon. But we talked about, you know, an ordinance service that talks about the bread and about the bread being the body of Christ. And I thought that wheat, and we've heard most of this before, but that wheat has to be broken up for it to be a part of that bread, for it to blend. It has to be crushed. It has to be bruised for it to be able to blend with the body of Christ. You know, it works that way spiritually with you and I. If we're not crushed, and Jesus talked about a corn of wheat falling into the ground, it said, except it die, it abides alone. It's by itself. But if it dies, in other words, if that outer shell begins to break down, that exterior begins to break down, then it's able to bring forth fruit. If you and I never are broken, if you and I don't live a broken life before the Lord, we're not going to blend in. If we don't lose our identity, if we don't lose our agendas and our ideas, and we come to that place of full submission and surrender to the Lord and His authority and power in our lives, we're not going to mesh with the body. We're not going to mesh with others that have been broken, that have been bruised. There's going to be something, a barrier that's there. The good news this morning is that you don't have to figure everything out on your own. You'll never do it. You'll never figure it out. It takes a willing heart and a willing spirit of brokenness. And I want to say something here this morning. That is why He said, I believe He said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, till you get old age. Because I want to tell you something. Once a person begins to mature into adulthood, there's a callousness there. There's a hardness. There's an insensitivity there that has to be broken. Or it won't go. It won't grow. It won't produce fruit. And a lot of people are not willing to be broken. They want to live for the Lord on their terms. They want to live for God in their way, on their terms. And it's very vital for you and I this morning to be broken in our heart, where we recognize that there's a willingness, Lord, whatever You say, wherever You lead, let's be looking and alert and cognizance of the leadings of the Holy Spirit that He's wanting to lead through His Word and through His Spirit our lives. The Lord is complete to us this morning. He'll enable us. He'll help us to be everything that He wants us to be. I thought about also Stephen. You remember there in the book of Acts, he gave a message that day that the people didn't accept. They rushed upon him and began to stone him. But what did he say? He looked up and he said he saw the heavens opened. And he said he saw the Lord standing on the right hand of God. You know, I say that's a difficult situation. We think in our flesh, how could I ever make it through such a trial as that, such a temptation? But the message this morning is we're complete in Him. The Lord knew what it was going to take to get Stephen through. The Lord was aware and alert of what His child was going through at the time. He wasn't just sitting at the right hand of the Father. He was standing at the right hand of the Father. The Lord knows what you and I face. He knows it's not something that He's completely unaware of. The Lord knows the surroundings, the circumstances of life that we are in. And He's able to give you and I thought, what a way to go to heaven with a vision. You know, this is my personal thought, and this is just my thought, but I don't know if those stones really felt what they would have felt without Stephen seeing the Lord at the right hand of the Father. I heard Brother Barton one time not him personally, but someone testified, said a man on the job struck him, hit him. And he said it just like he didn't feel the full It was like the Lord protected him. He didn't feel. And I know the Lord does that. They sang a song, "There is a haven. There's a place for you and I to get in that's the grace of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God. There's a place that the Lord, when we just look at ourselves, we think, I'm not going to be able to do that." Yes, you can. Don't falter back in unbelief. You're complete in Him. He's the fullness of the body. The Lord can carry us through. He can lift us. I want to get another scripture here in Joshua, the first chapter. Oh, it's so easy for us this morning to limit the Lord and what the Lord wants to do by our unbelief and by our doubts. In Joshua, I believe the first chapter, I'd like to read in the first verse. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Moses was dead, represented his body. But who appeared with Christ in the garden of Gethsemane? Moses was still alive. He's a God of the living. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Folks, these scriptures come down to you and I today. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. "Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I believe this morning the Lord wants you and I to be strong in faith. To be strong even though we see some walls. Even though you see some difficult places that are way bigger. I've often said life is bigger than us. And it is. But ye are complete in Him. You have what it takes. If we'll be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He said, "I will not leave thee." You know, sometimes they responded to Moses. They said, "Did you just bring us out here to die?" That was what they charged. "You just brought us all out here in the desert that we can... we're just going to die out here in the desert." He didn't bring them to the desert for them to die. For them to perish. He had a good land. He had a better place for them. Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel, "What'd you bring me into this place for? Why am I here?" Lord, help us today to have faith and confidence. To put our trust in the Lord. allow those dependencies to be stripped. You know, the Lord begins to work on those things, and He'll begin to strip those. You feel like, you know, the man there in Ezekiel talked about, he said he went out so far in the river and it was ankle deep, and then he went out and it was to the loins. But he kept calling him out a little further. You know, we like to be. It's easy to be where our feet are touching something, doesn't it? We feel pretty good to be able to have our feet on something tangible that we can grasp hold of. But he called them out into the river. That it was a river so big he had to swim to stay up. D.S. Warner, once one of his songs, he said, like a chip on the infinite wheel. It's like a little chip out on the ocean somewhere. No bottom there to touch. The Lord keeping it afloat. You know, He'll do that for us in our lives. But He'll lead us out a little bit deeper to where it's not us standing. It's not my ability. It's not my strength. It's not just me. It's the Lord. And it's His Spirit. And it's His Word. Let's trust Him for that. Let's allow Him to lead us into some of those places. We begin to grow in our spirit if we just bar that all off and say, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. We limit of what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. The Lord wants to work. Be strong. Be courageous. That word dismayed means to become confused. Don't get confused. Philip and I was talking about the other day, there's a scripture that talks about the battle being in garments rolled in blood. Sometimes the battlefield's that way. But it'll pass. Just stand. Brother Ted Bach one time, he shared something with me years ago that was a blessing to me. He said, different times in his life, he got into a place where he was kind of maybe in a place of confusion and maybe didn't understand what the Lord was totally doing. And he said, Brother Bob, he said, at those times, I just stood right there. He said, I just held my ground. And then pretty soon, the light began to see again. The light began to shine. He could walk clearly. But sometimes when we get in those places, people just throw up their hands. That's not what we want to do. We are complete in Him. Yes, there is battle. Stay in there. Be of good courage. Fight the thing through. Allow the Lord to work. Give the Lord some time to work. Sometimes we pray and we just expect everything to be done yesterday. Give the Lord time to work. Have faith and confidence in Him. And you won't be disappointed. The Lord will work. He'll make a way. And if we this morning would probably, and the saints here, if we went around and enumerated all the times that the Lord opened up the Red Sea and brought deliverances, we could be here a long time. The Lord works for His people. He works for His children. He'll work for you. He'll make a way. Be strong and be of good courage. Amen.